Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. Titans lose 34-10 to Buffalo. They fall to 1-5 on the season. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful. Congratulations as our teams went undefeated once again this weekend.
That is true. No game for the Bears. Packers get the dub. Lions get the dub.
NFC North, greatest division of all time.
Apparently so.
Yeah, not just this year, ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty darn good. There's no doubt about that. What is not pretty darn good, Corey Curtis, are the Tennessee Titans. They are now 1-5. Mason Rudolph at quarterback yesterday, and they mustered up 10 points of offense in the first half. So, for those who thought it was just Will Levis holding them back, it is not. What did you make overall of the performance? And specifically, and we've been talking about this throughout the show today, they are so bad in the second half and have been for multiple years and multiple coaching staffs now. What do you make of that? Like, how do you begin to try to explain how bad it's been in the second half for this team?
Well, first off, my initial impressions is they looked exactly the same with Mason Rudolph as they did with Will Levis. They had some first-half efficiency and then no second-half efficiency. I mean, they've had good drives with Will Levis in the first half of games. They just have not been able to continue them. And by the way, Mason Rudolph made plays in that game that if Will Levis had done them, people would have been freaking out. The almost pick to Epenesa, the drop snap, the fling forward in the fourth quarter. If Will Levis did those things, people would be out of their mind saying, oh my God, he hasn't learned anything. So let's just say that. And I know people are going to disagree with me. And there were aspects of Mason Rudolph that looked calmer in the pocket and more on time. I get all that. But it largely looked very much the same. I think the second half point is what I was thinking about before this call started, and I think it's very important because this is the same theme we see over and over and over again. Competitive first half, whitewashed the second half. I mean, have they been winning at four of these games at halftime?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to win some of those games. You've got to win some of those games, and it's not just the offense that fails in the second half. It's the defense. The defense was only on the field, I believe, for 10 minutes in the first half.
I think you're right.
It was low. You get a couple quick three and outs right away. You get some long drives of your own. Yeah,
they were not on the field long in the first half. So there's no reason to be tired, no reason to be worn out. No, you know, look, I know the fourth and two didn't go their way, and it was a questionable decision, but, you know, they didn't get the quick turnaround on the stop. And, you know, they just let him go right down the field. And so, you know, on both sides of the ball, they're not getting it done in the second half of games. And it is a real concern about what is happening. You know, you could say, you know, the offensive line has efficiency in the first half and then in the second half because they don't seem to be able to run the ball in the second half like they are usually in the first half of games. And you know, that's when, you know, you're winning going into the second half. You know, you want to establish that, make the game shorter and you know, tack on more points. And they're unable, you know, to do that. So I think it starts up front. But the question is why are they unable to continue? And I think you just, you know, people are going to point to second half adjustments. And when you talk about coaches saying, you know, can you adjust on the fly? We're not seeing, and I am not smart enough to tell you what these adjustments should be, but evidently they are not happening because we're seeing the same thing on a consistent basis.
Okay, so what's the concern level with Brian Callahan? Look, I think some will understandably make a lot, but maybe too much to me of the fourth down, go for it. I didn't like it. Certainly didn't like the play call. It totally flipped on them. I think the Bills were going to do what they did to some extent anyway, but what's the concern level just with Brian Callahan and his command of this whole thing right now?
Well, I agree with you. I would not have gone for it, but I understand why he did. And I don't particularly love the play call, especially after getting shoved back on third and one. But again, I understand why he did it, trying to get something going in the second half of the game. You know, look, like I said, it's, you know, I like Brian Callahan. I like him a lot. But it's not happening right now. And, you know, they gave up 34 unanswered points. And there has to be concern there. I mean, that's a good football team you just played against. But this is the National Football League. And you don't give up 34 unanswered points. You know, you're 1-5. You've lost games that you shouldn't lose, that you've been in position to win. So, you know, I think all criticism is largely fair, you know, at this point. And, you know, this is, you know, part of being a new head coach is generally you're a new head coach for a reason. You're taking over a bad football team.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and so there are challenges, and it doesn't take a lot in this league to flip. I mean, we've seen it over and over again, you know, where teams are bad. I mean, look at the Lions. What were the Lions' first year under Dan Campbell?
Not very good.
Yeah,
they came on at the end of, I think, of his first year, but not very good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I mean, it was like 0-11 to start or something like that.
Right.
And we were all like, this guy's a raging lunatic who drinks nothing but caffeine all day. He's way out of his mind, and he's never going to make it.
He's actually going to have to work at Applebee's?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, he was full of bluster and bravado, and that's all it looked like for 11 games. But obviously, you know, Dan Campbell got it figured out. Dan Campbell also has good players. You know, he's got one of the best offensive lines in the league. I hate to say they stumbled upon Amon-Ra St. Brown, but they got him, what, round 4 or 5?
Yeah, their drafting has been insane.
Yes. When you draft well, you win games. It's not a mystery. And they've coached Jared Goff extremely well. And I think, you know, that, you know. But so my point is you figure it out. And he's going to have to figure it out, or it's going to get ugly, because he's got to give his players a reason to believe, and that is the big mission for them right now, is giving the players a reason to believe that this staff can lead them to a turnaround.
Can you think of a more disastrous scenario at right tackle than the one the Titans have right now between Jalen Duncan, Nicholas Petitfrere, and Leroy Watson?
Well, you mean they could put the three of us out there?
They could.
But that's about it. And the bad part is, and we're going to sound like a broken record here, and, you know, I know Jared's been banging this drum forever, but he's not wrong. You know, we've all been saying they needed to bring in a veteran to compete at that position, you know, to give themselves an out if the other guys all failed. And they have all failed. I mean, when they marched Jalen Duncan out there yesterday, I mean, you could have picked about 800 emojis for my reaction.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is going to be a long day. I mean, it's going to be a long – I mean, Greg Russo lived in the Titans' backfield yesterday, lived there. And that was the only 4 plays against Jalen Duncan. And how does an offensive lineman pull his hamstring?
That's another question. I don't know that I've ever seen that. Yeah, you don't see that one too often, do you?
No. Most of them don't even have hamstrings. I mean, come on. And, you know – they've had time. There are 31 other practice squads out there that have offensive linemen on there, all right? And I'm not just saying to just go sign somebody, but you've got a scouting department. You've looked at other players. You've got it. There's got to be somebody out there that you think has a pulse that you want to take a look at, because it can't be worse than what you're marching out there. It is a revolving door over there. And I don't mean by the players in the position. I mean they're blocking. Okay? Guys just whiz right by them. It is not good enough. It's not combative enough. It's not violent enough. All right? Find someone with some physicality to them. Find someone with some violence to them. And go. Pull Dave Stewart out of retirement and have him just bludgeon somebody.
Now we're talking.
So with Levis, you know, there's going to be conversation about the whole way it went down, Corey. But to me, like, I would just not even mess with him in Detroit. You get him out there this week, so, but if it's not like 100%, yep, it is. There is no discomfort whatsoever. I'm just going to let Rudolph handle it, but then I'm giving it back to him when it is 100%. Agree or disagree?
Exactly. No, I look, wait for him to be 100%. You know, I look, Ryan Callahan's a lot of things. I don't think he's a liar. So I think his explanation for what happened is entirely believable and plausible. That doesn't mean that they should have considered not playing him against the Colts and taking more time to get him healthy. But I understand what happened. But, you know, you are where you are right now. And so there's no reason to march him out there at a situation where you could be right back where you are now, where overuse of a hurt joint is just going to set him back. You know, get him back and healthy. I know you can't say our season is over, but let's be realistic. The season is over.
Yeah.
And you know, see what he can do when healthy. Because this team has to figure out a way to push the ball down the field. Whether that be the game plan or whether it be the coach's decision, they need the ability to, I mean, not just complete passes downfield like 25, 30 yards downfield, but intermediate routes. Because right now, if it's not like a bubble screen or a slip screen or a five-yard stop, they're not completing a whole heck of a lot. And so they've got to figure out a way to do that, and they need him and his arm healthy to try to find a way to make some of those plays. I mean, they are spending almost $50 million on three guys that they, for whatever reason, can't get the football to.
Yeah, it's truly mystifying. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us. And we will talk to you next week after what I'm sure will be a thrilling Titans and Lions game coming up on Sunday.
No, thank you. I'm sure it's going to be a barn burner, an absolute barn burner.
Yeah, I'm sure that it
can
is.
Can I ask you guys a Vols question real
Please
quick?
Please do.
So huge win, obviously, for them. If they win out except losing to Georgia, is that still good enough to get them in the playoffs?
I think it is, but I think it's going to be close. Like they really need, and we talked about this earlier, they need Alabama to win out and to make that win look as good as possible. Problem is, if that happens, Alabama's also going to be 10-2, and that will include a win against Georgia and a win on the road at LSU. So it could get pretty interesting at 10-2.
I think they'd get in. I would bet they'd get in. I mean, I would not bet a lot, though, because, like, who knows? There's so many other teams that, you know, is Indiana go 11-1?
Yeah.
You know, you can go down the list. But it'll be fascinating.
They don't have – I mean, Alabama's their best win.
Yeah.
I mean, Oklahoma's terrible. And this is not, you know, your dad or your brothers or your uncles or your sisters, Florida. Well, they're not.
It's a pretty good example of why you can't drop a game to Arkansas. I mean,
I guess that's my whole point, is the rest of your resume, you know, while you've put up points and you've won games, you don't have a lot of marquee wins on there.
I think some of it also depends on how they look. Like, if their offense comes alive now and they figured something out in the second half, I think that makes it a little bit different.
Because they will look at all that stuff, yes.
I think the quarterback has got to step up his play. He's definitely got to be more consistent. And if he steps up his play, I think they can beat a lot of people.
Corey, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Some interesting thoughts from Corey on the Titans there. We'll get back into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tomorrow, your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess the Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you'll win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate tomorrow morning with us at 8:45. Speaking of the Preds, don't miss this Wednesday night Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal. Your chance to get autographs and pictures as well. That's this Wednesday night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. And you're on your home with the Nashville Predators, 102.5 the game. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. It's interesting to watch them right now at right tackle. It's hard to imagine it being much worse. We've talked about that spot specifically throughout the show today. I want to get to this text from Dennis because, you know, right tackle is included in this as a spot that's not better from last year. However, I do think you can look at the roster and say that it is an improved roster from a year ago. So then the question becomes, how are they this bad? And the quarterback play is certainly a lot of it. But Dennis says the team was bad last year, and now the talent level on the roster is better, but the team is worse. I don't like judging a coach before they coached an entire season, but I've lost faith in Callahan. This is from Dennis on the text line. And while I agree
– Dennis is very level-headed, by the way.
And while I agree that, generally speaking, 6 games is way too early to make a judgment on a coach, I don't think it's that far of a stretch to say Brian Callahan's done a bad job through 6 games. Like, he has. There just has not been enough answers. I do think you can make the argument that the roster – well, I don't even know if it's an argument. The roster is more talented than it was a year ago. Now, the quarterback play has been bad. So how much does that limit you? It limits you a whole lot in the National Football League. But it's just – the whole thing feels like it's totally disjointed right now with this team. And that is very disappointing through the 6 games of a head coach's tenure.
Yeah, I absolutely agree on the assessment of what he's done so far. I wouldn't lose faith in him. Yeah, it's like, again, go back to his last job and the first year he was there with Zach Taylor. Were they 2-14? Is that what it was?
I believe that is correct.
How absolutely dismissed were they as a staff? Now, that was definitely the depths of a bad team rebuilding your ground up. The thing is, yeah, I agreed, certainly. Like, this roster, they've added some pieces. The thing is, though, the ads are giving you very little ROI. So
yeah,
it is better. I mean, you can't argue otherwise, but it's not as better. Is that right? As better?
The numbers
as
tell
much
you it's
better.
Worse.
Yeah. As it's supposed to be, because you have guys like, well, L'Jarius Sneed can't go after the week after he gives up the big plays, and well, Calvin Ridley has 12 catches on 36 targets, which is absolutely absurd. And yes, he deserves a lot for that. And I agree with PK. There's some weird stuff going on there. So there's a lot of the roster improvement that really isn't roster improvement. Not to take, I mean, they all deserve plenty of blame. I do think Brian Callahan's a really smart guy. I think he has the right path here in terms of what he's done. I go back to like the player survey. I know some people would be like, well, you don't want, coaches that players like, but like that does matter. I think long term, if guys like playing for a coach, maybe Vrabel's like the example of a guy who has a shelf life, but I wouldn't dismiss him from becoming a really good coach in the NFL right now at all. It's way too early for that. I agree with you that he's been bad. They've all been bad. I got to get to Sean though, because okay. Sean here. And I don't want to be too mean to Sean, because he's right. Corey Curtis just basically agreed with him. But he said, should they try to trade for right tackle? I feel like they should. Working behind a competent line the rest of the way is more important than a fourth or fifth round pick it'll cost. And my answer is, one, this team's going nowhere. So at the trading deadline, like, look, I guess go if you want to sign someone from a practice squad, great, but that's not the same thing you're talking about. You're talking about trading for right tackle. If they make any trades, they need to sell. Okay. Also, offense is down in this league across the board. I just looked at the Titans went down from 19-2 to 17-7 yesterday. That's still only six worth. Six worth in the league. You know the Dolphins are averaging 11 points a game?
I mean,
holy
after
cow.
Watching Tyler Huntley play quarterback, that does not overly surprise me.
But 11 points a game, my God. Offense is down. You know why? There's a lot of reasons people throw out there. Oh, they're playing too high safeties. There is a shortage of good offensive linemen in this league. So this is a good thing where like everybody focuses here on the Titans, and it's bad, and it's definitely bad. A lot of bad offensive line play like that. You're not. No one is trading you a starting quality right tackle right now.
No,
they're not. You can go like Corey said, go get someone. Sure, go sign someone of a practice squad. Might be better than Nebbia. But the idea that they're going to trade and get as a buyer and get someone who can play, it's just a complete pipe dream.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. And like you said, the only scenario to me where that could happen is if somebody else is out of it and they've got a player on an expiring deal that they're not going to re-sign. But, like, why would you do that if you're the Titans at this point, if you're trading for a guy that's on an expiring deal? Like, teams that have their right tackles and their starting offensive linemen locked up are not getting rid of their starting offensive linemen.
100%. And here's another thing. Look, it's 6 games in, and guys, it's going to be – I will say the one thing about this next game, the Lions did lose the one edge rusher they had. And so, like from that perspective, that aspect of them is not great. Other things about them are going to make it tough for you. But at least like this week, it will not be the worst. Because, I mean, even yesterday, it's, you know, it's, my gosh, who was wearing them out yesterday? Well, Rousseau wearing them out, but also the other guy was, I mean, they were, but Rousseau is a problem. They don't have anybody like that. So they have a little bit of time. But look, Bill Callahan, it does. I think we saw it starting to get better. Then MPF gets out there, and it's like it really is so much on him in this last game. And they go to, like, the one of the worst pressure rates of the season. So
Bill Callahan, out to former Titan Daquan Jones with a sack yesterday.
There you go. Man, that guy's been around now for a while. But this is Bill Callahan, absolutely. He has done this before. Last year at Cleveland, they were a mess, too, with injuries left and right. They figured it out. Like they got to figure something out. I mean, to me, I'm with you. I thought Leroy Watson was like, it wasn't great, but looked a little better than what I'm seeing from MPF and Duncan.
Andrew says, I'm not a level-headed fan like Dennis. Brian Callahan looks like a choke artist, and Bill Callahan is the biggest lie ever sold to Titans fans.
Yes.
I'm ready to get that family out of Tennessee. Yes. From Andrew on the text line.
Decades of evidence, but you know what? These six games, nope, it's all a lie. It's all been smoke and mirrors with Bill Callahan for decades in this league.
615-737-1025.
You are kidding, right, Andrew?
Our phone number? I don't think he is. 615-737-1025. More of your reaction to the Titans dropping to 1-5. Coming up next, we will get back into Tennessee and Alabama to close out the program as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Titans at 1-5. I got to say, I am very glad for multiple reasons. But mainly today for our program, that Tennessee took down Alabama. So we've at least had a break to talk about it. I mean, look, I know you guys got to be tired of listening to it. I'm tired of talking about it, the same stuff every week with the Titans. But the good news is we still got like 3 more months of this. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Now we could get more creative.
We could.
Because I'll give you a little preview at 2 o'clock. Callahan was lying all along. Levis is in on the lie. It's a huge conspiracy, and Jared's got 4 hours to tell us why.
A 9-minute run.
There you go. That's about as accurate. Look, again, I'll tell you, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Jared is right, if that is what Jared believes. But I hope Jared at least acknowledges that he doesn't know also.
Are you guessing,
and again, doing what he typically does with things and says, this must be a conspiracy. Let me weave the tale for you.
Are you saying could be approaching Plain and Green Bay territory today?
Yeah, the Plain and Green Bay, which, of course, then years later, Jared said, well, I knew that it wasn't a thing. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're screaming on our show, wasting our time, telling us how it could have been weeks, months later, and you now are saying in retrospect, oh, yeah, I knew it was. It wasn't an HR thing. Anyway, I just gave you a free preview, Stilly.
Gordon from Nashville. Maybe this says more about Vrabel than Callahan. Speaking of which, wasn't there some talk about there at least being a slim chance of getting something in return for him?
There was a lot of talk.
Why is this team obsessed with ditching amazing talent without even an attempt at leveraging anything in return?
You know, based on Titan Twitter yesterday, I'm surprised we haven't had more Vrabel mentions today. But it's heading toward more and more.
Yes. Well, we're getting pretty close to it being the biggest problem in Titans history of them getting rid of him from the fan base.
Yeah.
It's even with people that were happy to see it at the time, it's starting to swing on the Vrabel stuff.
Well, I mean, it's like what we were just talking about during the break, which you may get into at some point this week. You got some of these idiot Browns fans who have like massage tables and free to Sean Watson when he starts playing for him, and then they're cheering when he tears his Achilles yesterday.
Yes.
So
things
can be fickle.
Things can be fickle.
But, look, the Vrabel, it's just all the things, we haven't mentioned this, but it's probably worth every show mentioning. All these things, they end up leading back to one person.
Yep.
Amy Adams Strong.
Yep, no doubt about it. And look, I was telling you earlier, I'm struggling to find many more wins for the Titans on the schedule. Like, we all know the season's over, and they're not making the playoffs, and they're going to end up being one of the worst teams, if not the worst team, in the NFL. I mean, you've got the Patriots coming up, which they look equally as bad. You know, you never know with Jacksonville, even though Jacksonville rolled off like 32 straight yesterday and they've won two games in a row. And maybe you split with them. Maybe you take down Indianapolis next time. But the bottom line is, like, on paper right now, based on the way that all these teams are playing, like, coming into the year, you thought Minnesota might be a gettable game. Well, they look pretty darn good. Washington might be a gettable game. They look pretty darn good.
Regardless of who the quarterback is. What if Marcus gets a revenge game?
Oh, man, that would be something. But, like, I'm struggling to get past three or four wins as, like, a maximum with this team right now.
No, they got real one-pick potential. Now, speaking of fan bases that are screaming about Mike Vrabel, those New England Patriots fans are screaming about Mike Vrabel because, obviously, it's not going well for Jerod Mayo. Now, the difference, to me at least, is that I knew the Patriots would suck this year.
Yes.
Right? Like, Mayo is coming in on a rebuild.
Now, you could say that they about have the Titans, their rookie too, because a lot of people thought the Titans would suck heading into this year.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They did. And, again, for a second straight year, national NFL media is more accurate on the Titans than those of us who only thought they'd win, like, you know, lose like 10 or 9 games.
Yes.
Or 11 games. Because they're going to lose more than that.
Yes, yes, they are. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
I'll say this, Robbie and Joe. I've never been so wrong about a team. Now, saying that, I always say, no matter what the team is, when you change head coaches, there's a period. So, like, even if Levis were to be playing out of his mind, I didn't put us in the playoffs because – I don't think you can adjust to a coaching staff that quick. That being said, dude, I didn't know it would come off the rails the way it did. Like, you're competitive for 10 points, but did anybody feel like we were going to win that game ever? Like, no.
No.
At some point, it's going to fall apart. At some point, it's going to open up. The defense can only hold on for so long. The offense is anemic. Like, it's not even fun to watch, dude. Like, it's not even fun to try to get behind this team or talk good or feel good about any players. There's no leadership. There's nobody whose jersey I'm running out to buy from this team right now, which is sad. Like, it used to be even like Stonehouse, like, oh, he's such a stud. I don't want his jersey, dude. Like, this whole squad is just – they make me sad. It makes me sad that we're like 7 weeks into the season, and I'm already like, okay, pre-draft. Let's see where we're at on the draft board, because clearly we're number one. So, it just sucks, dude. I hate feeling like this in October.
Yep, I totally understand that. There's no doubt about
Good
that.
Good call. Yeah. I feel for you. I feel for Titans fans. 3 years ago, this team was on its way to the number one seed.
Yeah, which is, it feels like an eternity ago. But it really wasn't that long
ago. Freaking years ago. And this might be the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
In performance, but not in roster.
Well,
it's not.
It's pretty exhausting. It's exhausting to watch. It's exhausting to talk about. I'm sure it's exhausting at times to listen to. Like, it's just – it's awful. Like, it's completely awful. And, you know, I don't know where the light is at the end of the tunnel is either, right? Like, we're getting ready. If things stay the way they are, we're getting ready to basically just revisit all the things we've done the last 2 years, which is, all right, well, got to go find a quarterback. All right, well, they need to go draft the right tackle. Okay, well, they need a young wide receiver. Hey, wouldn't mind if they went and helped the pass rush. Like, a lot of these same conversations that we've had for the last few years, it feels like we're about to get in recycle mode with some of those.
Yeah, get those mock drafts warmed up. I want to read this from Michael in Madison, although he calls himself Michael in Madison in Madison. He says, can we just agree the last regime was carried by one of the greatest players at his position ever, and this regime doesn't have that? Not defending either coach, but one had Derrick Henry and the other didn't. I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you there, Michael. Derrick Henry was great. There is no question. There were a lot of good things about this team. They had, again, I just talked about the number one seed, right?
Yeah.
Well, they earned that number one seed in a half a season by winning with a dominant pass rush. And with Ryan Tannehill making enough plays, and with A.J.
Brown, Henry, by the way.
Yeah. With no Derrick Henry. Right. He was not on the field. And they still got the number one seed. Was he the best player? Yes. Did he carry everything? Hell no. And, again, the offensive line and the way they came together when they had Lawan in his prime, they still had Conklin, you got Davis and Saffold and Ben Jones. Derrick Henry was their best player. Those guys were phenomenal in their in that stretch before Lawan tore his ACL. And they had Tannehill playing elite elite at his position, and A.J. Brown, and on and on and on. They had a lot going for them.
They did, and now it feels like they got nothing going for them. Like, even the defense yesterday, and I know Snead wasn't on the field, and it's Buffalo, so there is that. But, I mean, giving up 34 unanswered in an NFL game, it shouldn't happen ever. I don't care what the discrepancy is between the two teams. Like, it's the National Football League. You should not give up 34 unanswered points.
Well, I do think this speaks to – I do think there's a leadership issue. I think that – look, Henry, great player, and not a super vocal guy, but a leader.
Yeah.
Kevin Byard, great leader. Tannehill, great leader. They're missing some of these guys
sure. There's no doubt. And that's – I don't know how you quantify that, like in terms of what that means wins and loss-wise, because at the end of the day, it comes down to – you executing and doing what you're supposed to do on the field. But it's not meaningless. Like, there is a clear void that they've got there. And you want that to be your quarterback. The problem also is, though, like, when your quarterback, first off, he went on the field yesterday. But when he is on the field and he's playing as poorly as he is, I think it's hard to lead that way when you're playing that poorly. It's hard to really, I think, resonate with your team when that's happening.
Well, for sure. No, you cannot – if you are the problem – If you are struggling that mightily, you can be built to be a great leader. It doesn't matter. No one's listening to you. You have no – if your play is that bad, you don't have credibility as a leader. Right. It's just how it is.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Final thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Bills. We'll also get back into Tennessee's big win against Alabama. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jordan in Nashville. Tennessee professional sports is just hurtful. Titans and Preds both boasted about the improved roster, gave major hope to the fans that things were going to improve to be playoff slash maybe championship contenders only for both to show major signs of regression. Just waiting on the Grizzlies to stink to complete the crushing trifecta of suck. Going on across the state.
I just like seeing the Titans Preds fan who also is a Grizzlies fan. I mean, I think that's cool, but there's a lot of people who don't feel that way.
Yeah. I mean, Preds are 0-5. We have not talked about them much today. We will tomorrow. They got some serious problems right now.
Yeah. You know, sound the alarm.
Yeah. I've been slow to panic. I'm getting pretty close. If you lose tomorrow and get to 0-6 after Boston, that's not good.
You're continuing history,
yep,
which you've already made.
Exactly. So we'll get a little bit more into them coming up tomorrow. A lot of people talking about the Titans. We've heard a lot of this today. This is one of those days where the text line is once again hard to keep up with, so we appreciate that. I just have better things to do now with my Sunday afternoon. Corey says, I've sold all my tickets just to get some of my money back. Dedicated all my Sunday to the Titans, and I'm exhausted. Come on, NCAA basketball. Music directs Rhodes' ears.
Yeah.
They want us to pay a minimum of $12,000 per seat. No thanks. I'm buying a boat. Sorry, Amy. This is from Corey on the text line. We got a lot of text basically to that effect today of, I'm tired of giving up my Sunday afternoons to watch this team play football.
Yeah. Again, just like with the Vrabel, I thought we'd get a little bit more of the PSL talk, but you're not serious about $12,000 per seat, are you?
I have no idea.
Is that how bad things are now in professional sports?
Man, how does anybody do that?
I don't know. Yeah. Corey, can you send me some documentation? I'd like to see the documentation of this. $12,000 per seat?
Robbie in Mount Juliet says, Levis ruined a great condiment for me. I don't even like mayonnaise now because of him. Damn you, Will Levis. This is from Robbie and Mount Juliet and on the text line.
Look, man, all due respect to Will Levis's business deal with Hellman's. Get some Dukes. Get yourself some Dukes, and you'll return to loving mayo.
Mm. You heard it here first.
When I make my broccoli salad, I got two huge cups of Dukes in there. Ah. Absolutely delicious.
We have a whole lot more with the Titans to get into tomorrow on the program. Obviously, I mean, it's brutal to watch. 34-10 yesterday, you get rattled off 34 in a row to Buffalo, and you get the Detroit Lions, who, by the way, Jared Goff is playing like an MVP candidate right now. You get to face that next week with an offense that is abysmal on your end and an offense that's firing on all cylinders on their end. Setting up to be quite a day.
It doesn't look great. Here's a text, unnamed. In the meantime, Amy is being gifted a financial windfall with the new stadium in East Bank development. She gets richer, will continue to run the team with total incompetence. Done with all of them. Nihil, Brinker, on down the line. Titans got lucky with a few good years under Vrabel. It's likely he was able to mask a lot of the bad, but could only do it for so long.
Yeah.
I'd say that's a pretty upset fan. I feel like today hasn't been as much venting, Robbie, because there is apathy now.
Yeah, I think we're getting there.
Like, a couple weeks ago, it was like, okay, let's vent. And now there's venting. That was great venting. But it's a lot of, like, throwing your hands up at this point.
I mean, it's a lot of these things we're talking about have just been repetitive all year. What would be your guess right now? I don't know if you've seen it or not, but the line for the Titans and the Lions next week.
I think it's double digits, probably Lions by 11 or 12.
It's 10.5 for the Lions.
Yeah.
Which in the National Football League is a huge line.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? I won't be shocked if the Titans defense goes in the first half and keeps it competitive for a while, because that's kind of what they do. But not liking their chances overall. David says 100% correct. We're in the club level. It's 20,000. Per PSL, per seat. We decline waiting for the upper deck to see what they are, but it's absolutely crazy. It's going to all be corporations. And it is. This goes beyond Amy. This goes beyond, I mean, this is the NFL, and they hold cities hostage. And you know what? I want Nashville to have a National Football League team. This is a major league city. We are a major league city, but it is insane when you look at like Kroenke and St. Louis and just what goes on in this league and what they do to hold cities hostage. Yep. It really is. And now the prices, just utterly absurd.
Yep. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Al. Al, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Great show.
Thank you.
Just a quick PSL comment. I think Joe just touched on it there with, I think, David. I'm currently in the stadium now, lower level, 30-yard line. We got 7 seats. You know, I'm from the original PSL, you know, founding fathers, but they did.
How much were those, real quick?
Well, those were $3,000 back in the day, and we thought that was expensive. Yeah. So, so now they did certain waves to David's point, to the obvious points. Wave one was maybe the club people, you know, the way they maybe did some, you know, demographics to get the corporations and the money in there. The club levels are now what you would call the lower level. like say from the, you know, the 30 to the 30 or the 20 to the 20. So there is no next section as club. That's suites is the next level. And like you would see the club today.
Yeah.
The club people now are lower level, where people like me in the 40-yard line and the 50-yard line people were setting lower level right now. But real quick, those are going for about 20 to 75 per PSL. It depends on where you sit, of course. So I ended up getting in. I'm in section. I'm about the 10-yard line now on the side, and mine were 12.5. But the first 10 rows of most sections like that, like mine, the first 10 rows in my 10-yard line were 15,000, and then they start pricing the 11th row, et cetera, 12.5 on back. But to everybody's point, depending on where you're going to sit in the stadium, if you do it at all, they give you the credits for the, like, we got $21,000 credit, 7 times 3 is 21,000, but they're still pricing people like me and whoever else out. It's crazy.
Wow.
But I went to two seats, just to get in. The pricing, so we're down to two seats now, again, on the side, about the 10-yard line, about the 11th, 12th row up, so I didn't do 15 per. But it's really, really outrageous. So it's not like a hypocrite in a sense, but we still wanted to continue. We still wanted to go and get in and maybe speculate that maybe they're good in 3 years or whatever. But it's such an outrageous price. It's really, I wanted to validate some of the points.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Thanks for the call, Al.
Thank you. Thanks, Al. Yeah. I mean, to me, with these prices, is there escargot with everyone too instead of hot dogs? Yeah. Hey, congrats to all you people for being rich.
Yeah, way to go.
Hey, let's have a positivity at the end of the show. A lot of people with a lot of money. Congratulations.
Joe, I got to tell you, Saturday night was fun. I really enjoyed it. It was not fun
watching
the game.
I saw you with your cigar.
Cigar was good.
You were crushing some cigars, weren't you?
Multiple cigars on Saturday. I think I'm still feeling it a little bit.
You're still coughing from it.
I'm coughing up a lung.
You and Heupel, man. Yeah. Take it easy.
It was nice, but that's a huge win for Tennessee. College football playoffs still on the table, and we'll see how they handle it moving forward.
There are good things in the world, folks. There are good things in our sports world here in Tennessee.
The SEC teams providing a lot of good things.
The ranked Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt's ranked at number 25. They got Texas coming into town. Tennessee's back in the top 10. College football's great around here.
Exactly. And like you said earlier, college hoops is coming, baby. Let's get excited. I'm ready.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We'll have a lot more on the Titans, the Vols, Vanderbilt, and the currently winless Nashville Predators tomorrow on the program. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.